2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll be reading verse number 16, verse 17, and verse number 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight. Father, we ask you that you would bless the reading of your word. Father, I pray that you'd speak to your hearts of your people. I pray, Father, you'd have your way. We love you, and we'll thank you for all you accomplished tonight. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. As we learn of Paul and as we study Paul's ministry, we look at Paul's life, we see Paul's walk, we have to come to the same conclusion, I believe you and I would agree with me as well, is that Paul served God with great intensity. Not only Paul, but as you read about the apostles' lives, and James and John, Peter, most of them were martyred for serving God, the great heroes of the faith. We see in times in their life where they served God with enthusiasm, they served God with great intensity, they served God, they worked for God, they labored for God, yet many times they began to grow weary. You know, I was thinking, one preacher said it this way, not being weary of the way, but being weary in the way. And I think that's what Paul is warning us tonight. Paul, no doubt, he grew weary many times in his walk, in his ministry, in his laboring. He had so much persecutions and afflictions we'll see in just a moment. And he said, I'm growing weary in the way, but I'm not growing weary of the way. And we find that so often many times in our Baptist churches. We find that a lot of times with pastors and preachers that try to labor and they do so much and try to take so much upon them, they become weary in the work. You know, there's a song we sing in the red hymnal about the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I want to say now I'm glad I'm in the glory way. I'm glad I'm saved and redeemed. But many times we have to be careful of not becoming so weary, so tired, so labored that we begin to grow faint. Paul gives us a gold mine of Bible truths in just these three verses tonight. As I was studying this afternoon, and about the first six words in the Bible that are in our text tonight that Paul introduces us to us, he tells us his motivation. He tells us the reason he plows forward, the reason he continues on. What keeps Paul going? Paul, what keeps you so motivated? Paul, what keeps you so laboring for God and pushing on for the mark that God's laid in front of you? And I believe we'd see that Paul, he had been shipwrecked and he had been beaten and stoned. He had left been cold and hungry so many times. And the text, I believe, answers this question. I think Paul, like us, and I hope we see things this way, he sees things in twofold truths. We find that in this text. Paul mentions in our text tonight about an outward man, and he mentions about an inward man. He speaks of a light affliction, but then he speaks of a heavy glorifying. He speaks of things that are seen. He speaks of things that are not seen. And I pray that we see truths like Paul sees truths. You know, there's still some absolute truths today. There's still a place called heaven, and there's still a place called hell. There's still a Savior. His name's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And there's still one that will torment you and wants to pull you into the pits of hell, Satan himself. There's still right and there's still wrong. Paul sees these twofold truths, and I believe we see how he views walking in his ministry. All the trouble he encountered, all the persecutions he faced, all the great afflictions that he endured, we see that in these texts. Paul, he was, as I said, he was left cold and hungry most of his ministry. He lacked the proper clothing most of the time. He was hated by most, but yet Paul continues to push on. His focus, we see tonight, was on Jesus Christ. What he viewed, what he focused on, was things above. His vision was on above. And this new year that we're walking into, 2020, I pray that our focus is on Christ, our Lord, is on Jesus Christ. We don't waver. We're blinded to him. We're focused on him, and we walk after him. Notice in our text, verse number 16, he said, "For which cause we faint not." Began to think and study the word faint, and it suggests that you grow so tired, you grow so weary, you grow so labored, you grow so weak and drained to the point that you're rendered useless. That's what he's saying. He said, "For this cause I faint not." One writer put it this way: it meant to become spiritless, have no fight, not being able to muster enough energy to labor on, to work. And I think that was very prevalent in Paul's day, and I believe it's still prevalent in our day today. I was thinking about the word faint. Paul was so often used the word faint. He told this church, the church at Corinth, not to faint. He told the church at Ephesus not to faint. He told those Galatians not to faint. He told the church at Thessalonica not to faint. And I believe in the Word of God tonight, by the authority of the Word of God, he's telling Fletcher First Baptist Church not to faint. Notice he says in Galatians 6 and 9, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." See, Paul's desire, his goal, his craving, his yearning was one that was steady. It was one that was always moving forward, one that was always looking to his Savior, one that was unmovable, one that was fervent. And because Paul's focus on who and what he believed and what he kept his eyes on made it to the point where he may have grew weary, he may have grew tired, but he did not faint. Perhaps you're like me. When trouble comes, I begin to size up my trouble, and I begin to see how big it is and how small it is and the ways to out and the next steps and how I'm going to find a solution. But listen to what Paul said about all his trouble. He said earlier in the text in verse number 8, "We are troubled on every side. I have trouble in front of me, I have trouble behind me, and I have trouble all around." He said, "I'm troubled on every side, but yet not distressed. I'm perplexed, but not in despair. I'm persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Why, Paul? Why can you have all these afflictions, all this persecution and suffering, and view that? He says on verse number 10, "Because always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Paul pressed on, he focused on God, and he was saying, "I don't grow faint, but not because of something, but because of someone." What's your focus on tonight? When we're come to church, I was sitting in the parking lot this morning and was trying to get my thoughts right and trying to get hooked up with God before I come in the sanctuary. And I watched people walk in the house of God, and the thought come to me. And, you know, it's a simple thought, not a thought that we think about sometimes. But why is all these cars coming to this building this morning? It's a simple thought. Not because of something, but because of someone. And I pray that we can focus on Jesus Christ this coming year. Paul said, "I grow faint. I keep my eyes focused on him. I don't grow faint because I keep my eyes on my affections on him, my mind on him." And I began to think he was a man of God that would not quit, He was a servant of God that would not give up. He was a man of God that kept plowing forward and said, I'm not throwing in the towel. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Brother Stacy Piercy, he's a great songwriter. He's a great preacher, a great evangelist, a great singer. And he told the story at a meeting we was at one time that he was at the most difficult place in his ministry, a time of his ministry where he was facing afflictions and facing persecution and facing hardship. And after a Sunday evening, a weekend, that next morning, he went to his study and was praying, and he said he had enough. And through his own words, he said that he just couldn't take it anymore. He said it felt like that God wasn't blessing the ministry. The ministry wasn't prospering. The ministry wasn't moving forward. And he began to pray and tell God all this, these things that was troubling him. And he said the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said, Stacy, you're right. And you have every right to believe that, but at least you're not going to hell. Stacy said he kept praying and said, Lord, the people's not following me. The people's not listening to me. Brother Stacy said, it seems like they're kicking against the pricks. And Lord, I don't know what else to do. I've tried everything. He said, the Holy Ghost said, Stacy, you're right. But at least you're saved and not going to hell. He kept on praying. He said, Lord, the ministry's not prospering. And it seems like there's no use. And I'm done. I can go somewhere else where people's following and where people's listening and they want to serve you. He said, Brother Stacy, you're right. But at least you're saved. At least you're born again. And at least you're not going to hell. Brother Stacy said he began to write down those words. Great song our choir sings, our youth choir sings. Now my life is worth living since I've been forgiven. Christ made a real change in me. I'm no longer dying when I think about dying, because heaven is waiting for me. I'm not going to hell. I've met a Savior. I have a story to tell. Saved and forgiven, set free all is well. I'm not going to hell. You know, in spite of our troubles, in spite of our sorrow, in face of our fears and our persecutions, and when we become perplexed, we ought to lift our hands and we ought to lift our voice and we ought to raise our voice to God and say, Father, I'm glad I'm a child of you. I'm glad I'm saved and redeemed. I'm forgiven. I've been set free. All is well, and I'm not going to hell. See, Paul realized there were some things on this side that we can look at, but there's some things up there we can focus on. He talks about not growing faint. The reason I don't grow faint, Paul's focusing not on his surrounding circumstances in our text. He's not focusing on troubles that are on every side. But in verse 16, he said, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Even though our physical body, Paul was saying, is growing weak and it's growing weary, and as I grow older, this flesh begins to decay and my flesh begins to die, the inward man, that spiritual man, that thing on inside of me somehow grows stronger and stronger and stronger. J. Vernon McGee said about this text, he said he told his wife that when he was up in his 80s, and that great preacher, that great Bible scholar, he said that he wished that he knew now, when he was 35, that what he knew in his 80s. You see, he still had that desire on the inside to serve God with the wisdom and the blessings that God's given him, yet his physical body has grown weaker and weaker and weaker. Our bodies may grow tired. They may grow weak. They may get sick and battle diseases, and we face physical pains. The Holy Ghost said it like this: it perishes. It perishes. But even though it perishes, I'm happy to report to you there's something inside. There's that new man, that saved man, that redeemed man that grows stronger and is renewed day by day. See, on the outside, we're suffering and things, and we're taking beatings, but on the inside, there's blessings and there's a renewing. On the outside, it's pretty hopeless. But on the inside, it's joyable. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. I believe Paul suffered probably more than any believer that we read about in the Bible. He was beaten five times by Jews, three more times by Gentiles. He was shipwrecked three times. He was stoned once. He had constant distress, cold and hungry, and he was wronged. And yet he even oversaw the spiritual needs and the spiritual cares of many churches. And you know what he called it? Light affliction. Light affliction. How can Paul face all that trouble and all that hardship and say it's mere light affliction? The word light in our text, it says, verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. The word light is used two times in your Bible. Once here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and it's used a second time in Matthew chapter 11, verse 30. Jesus is speaking, and he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am weak and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The reason Paul could say that all this trouble I'm facing in the ministry and the pressures I'm facing and the persecutions, it's because I'm yoked up with Jesus Christ. The Sunday school teacher was asking her class of young people, young children, what a yoke was. And after a few moments of thinking, there was a young girl that raised her hand and answered the teacher and said, teacher, a yoke is that harness that you put on something or an animal's neck. She said, that's right. But what does it mean when it talks about the yoke of God? Without an instant of thinking, that same little girl said, it's not when someone puts the harness around your neck, but that's when God puts his arm around your neck. You see, Paul was saying all these heavy burdens, all the pressures of this world and all the things I'm facing, I can call it light because Jesus Christ has his arm around me. You know, we ought to focus on him tonight instead of our problems in 2020. He talks about these light afflictions. He said these light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh. The word is to bring forth. It means to produce. It means to carry forth. He's saying these light afflictions can work some things in your life. Many times afflictions in the believer's life, it works, it brings forth, and it produces bitterness. Many times afflictions and hardships and troubles and trials, they work and they bring forth doubt. Many times these afflictions and hardships, they work and they bring forth anger and resentment. But Paul's suggesting his afflictions, his persecutions, his trial worketh and it bringeth forth. Rather, it's an action verb. It means driving. It drives him to the Lord. I pray that what we face this year, tomorrow, next week, it'll drive us to Jesus Christ. Verse 17, he said, worketh for us a far more exceedingly eternal weight of glory. One writer said of this text, this is how he summed up verse 17, earthly heartaches can produce heavenly crowns. Paul's saying, don't let these afflictions, don't let the things you face in school, don't let the things you face in your work life, in your family life that you can't control, don't let it push you away from God, but let it drive you toward God. You know, there's some good news for a saint of God tonight. I was thinking as Pastor was preaching this morning about heaven, the lowliest saint you know, the one that's ridiculed and is insignificant to the world, the one that's looked down upon society, one day will shine as bright as the sun in all of its brightness. One day it'll walk with angels for eternity. One day that same saint will dwell in mansions and will fellowship with Jesus Christ. Paul, why are you so motivated? Paul, what keeps you pressing on? What keeps you serving God with intensity and not growing faint in the ministry? I believe he would say, because these earthly pleasures, these earthly heartaches, is going to yield some heavenly weights of glory. I was thinking about Paul's example. Paul's our example. But what was Paul looking toward? He was looking toward Jesus Christ. I believe our Savior has this same desire as Paul. He's facing the cross. He's facing the death, the Roman death, a tortured death, a suffering like no man had ever faced. He mustered enough strength. He derived enough power and motivation to die for sinners. Listen to Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, whom for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. You see, Jesus saw those persecutions and that suffering and all that turmoil that he had to face, and he found motivation in it. You say, what was his motivation? Well, he was pleasing the Father. I believe he was looking at a future bride. I believe he knew he was going to defeat Satan. But he's seen you and he's seen me. And that was his motivation for the cross. You see, he was looking on eternal things, not temporal. So what is it tonight you see in your life? What is it you see that you're suffering and it's hard and it seems like it's weighty and you're persecuted and you're surrounded on every side? The trials and the heartache. What is it that you see? In the world's eyes, Paul was an incredible failure. I mean, at the height of his career, he left all of it to go suffer, to go be persecuted, to struggle. But he knew it wasn't about what you see on this world, but it was what we see in that world. Verse 18, he said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Here's my message tonight. Wrote it down, just 5 points. I want to encourage you tonight, Fletcher First Baptist Church. You may be growing weary. You may be growing tired. But please do not faint. Faint not, number one, in your prayer. Luke 18:1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and faint not. Don't faint this year in your prayer life. Number two, don't faint in perseverance. Don't faint in your confidence that you have in Jesus Christ. Therefore, seeing we have a ministry, 2 Corinthians 4:1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. Don't faint in your prayer life. Don't faint in perseverance. Don't faint in your preservation. Begin to think about this preservation. Verse 16, that's our text. He said, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Don't faint in your prayer life. Don't faint in perseverance. Don't faint in your preservation. Don't faint in your preparation. Galatians 6:9. This is the work. The work that God has laid before us. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't faint in your practice. You say, what do you mean your practice? That's the things, our walk, everything we do day by day. 2 Thessalonians 3:13. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And lastly, faint not in power, Don't grow faint in trusting God. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not, that any tribulation, my tribulation for you, for which is your glory. I pray this year, we may grow weary, we may grow tired, we may grow down and disheartened, but let's not grow faint. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for Paul's example, for your example. The cross was laid before you, but you didn't grow faint. You seen something eternal, Father, the eternal souls of men. And God, I pray that we could focus on you this year like never before. Lord, that we would never grow faint. We may grow weary and tired, but Lord, we could focus on you, knowing you're there in front and behind, beside us, that you're our advocate. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us in the word. You'd encourage us through prayer. You'd encourage us through the preaching, through the songs that are sung. Father, that we could serve you like we've never served you before. God, we love you and we bless you. You know the needs of the hour, the needs of the church. We ask you, Father, to meet those needs according to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If someone would come to the piano, we'll all stand tonight. Maybe tonight you feel like you're at your wit's end. You've grown faint, you've grown weary, you've grown tired. Why don't you focus on Him? Whatever your need is tonight, this altar is open.